So I hope today that you pray for me as I try to speak to you for a little while. And I may have told you this story last year. If you did, look over it. And looking back over my years of trying to preach to the Lord's people, thank you, I almost had a calamity right there. And looking over the years that I've tried to preach to the Lord's people, it's been a serious time. And I've looked back and found a whole lot of funny things that's happened to me, and I can laugh at them now. I was preaching one time in the state of Alabama, and every time I go into a building with a clock, I'm reminded of this. I was preaching an annual meeting one time in the state of Alabama, and they had a clock, but it was right up here. And I told them, I said, "Now, you've got the advantage over me. You're the only one in the building that can see the clock." I went back the next day, and the clock had been moved right over here. Now, I don't know what they're trying to tell me, but I hope tonight. But I'll tell you this. I don't believe any sermon is measured by the clock. But I believe it's measured by the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Some of the best preaching that I've ever heard in my life has been done in 10 minutes. You want to hear the rest? Some of the worst I've ever heard in my life has been done in an hour. But I hope tonight that I'm thankful to be able to be here and to be a part of this meeting. It might be drab and dreary outside, but we got to remember one thing. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. With that, I'm going to call your attention tonight. And I told Brother Don to get ready because I'm going to turn it over to him early. And he said, "I'll believe it when I see it." Maybe he won't mind me saying that. But I'm going to call your attention tonight to a text of scripture found in the book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be careful today what we preach and what we advocate. You know that? I believe today that it's just as necessary. And I believe today that it's up to us when we study the scripture. I believe today that it's up to us to rightly divide the word of truth. I believe we need to take it in its text. I believe we need to take it in its context. I believe we need to take it in what it's teaching us. All right, with that, I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 90, and we're going to look at it. In Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is cut off, and we fly away." Now there's three words in that to start with that I want to look at. And then I want to look, if you will, I want to look at the phrase, "and we fly away." Those three words that I want to look at are strength, labor, and sorrow. I believe today that we experience, as the Lord's people, I believe we experience every one of those experiences. But I'm going to tell you today that I believe I can tell you exactly where our strength comes from, because in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, this is what he says about it. He says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, and my father's God, and I will exalt him." Now let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I can say some things and go back to Georgia and hopefully get to come back next year. But I'm going to tell you something. We've sat over here at the table tonight, and Brother Don and I have made a few trips together, and we've settled some problems. When we got out of the car, I don't know that we could put them to work, but we settled them. We've settled a few here tonight. And I found out, and I'm going to get to this in a minute. I found out that by listening to him, that our time salvation begins with us. I'm telling you, brother, it don't. You hear me? It don't begin with us. Because he says right here in this text of Scripture, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Now, you tell me, if he's become my salvation, you tell me how in the world that it's going to begin with me. I just don't believe that it's going to. If he's become my salvation, if he's our strength today, how in the world can it begin with me? All right, so he says in that text of Scripture, if you fourscore, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. I'm telling you today, and I believe I've said this to you before, I believe today that there's one continual theme in the Scripture, from the book of Genesis to the book of... I didn't even look at my watch, brother. You know, don't count on that. He's looking at the clock now. But let me tell you something. I believe today when it says strength, the Scripture teaches us today exactly where our strength comes from. Because it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And here's a text of Scripture today that right here that we hashed over here about 20 minutes ago. And I believe the Apostle Paul, I believe the Apostle Paul is the major writer of the New Testament books. I believe we can depend on what he said. I believe we can depend on everything that he taught us. And this is what he says about it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm telling you today, my friends, if you and I have any strength whatsoever, it's not in ourselves, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe today that's why, that salvation and that strength goes together. Now, let me tell you, it says in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, I believe today that the Lord is in control of this universe. Don't it make sense to you that if he can create it, that if he can form it, that he can also control it? Don't that make sense? You know, you can't hardly beat common sense in anything. You know that? You can't hardly beat common sense. And I'm telling you today that if the Lord is our strength, that if the Lord is our salvation, that if the Lord is our hope, and I believe that he is, it's no wonder that he could say in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Spirit. For it says, thou shalt bring forth the Son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm telling you today, my friends, if we have salvation, if we have strength, it's in the strength of God himself. All right, in 2 Corinthians, it uses that word strength again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said, now, let me tell you something. You can also look right here. I had that marked. I've never in my life preached from a note. When you get to that point, you ain't preaching. You know that? Is that bad? Hope not. But I believe today the Apostle Paul, let me tell you something, the scripture is one continual theme. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 9, the apostle Paul says this, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. They mentioned Noah, that everyone right out here, you know, they mentioned, he said we ought to be preaching about Noah. We ought to be. Because grace was sufficient for Noah, just like it is for us today. Because in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, this is what it said, for Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, you know, I couldn't for a long time, I couldn't figure out that if since, and what I was trying to do is figure it out and separate it, well, I didn't have to. What I needed to do was put it all together. What I needed to do was put it all together in God's plan. I couldn't figure for a long time if there's two ages taught in the scripture, the age of the law and the age of grace, how in this world could Noah find grace in the eyes of the law? Until one day I was reading, and in Matthew chapter 1, in John chapter 1, verse 22, it says that by Moses came the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, if grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, go back to John 1:1 and see what that says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, don't it make sense that if in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, if grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, don't it make sense then that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Don't that make good sense to you? All right, so it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to stand here and tell you today that I'm a perfect person, because I'm not. But we've also discussed some characters in the New Testament, and one of them that we talked about was the Pharisee. And over there in the Gospel of Luke, when the publican and the Pharisee went to the temple to pray, the Pharisee began to brag about everything that he'd done. Oh, he says, I pray three times a week, I give a tenth of everything I own. Look at me now. When the publican prayed, he said, Lord, smote upon his breast. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But you know, he says, for my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me tell you something. I believe in the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in the imperfection and the weakness of men. That's exactly why today we are dependent upon the giver of every good and every perfect gift. All right, so we've got in that text of scripture, back over there in the book of Psalms, there it says strength and labor. Now, I'm not a grammarian. I want you to understand that. You done heard me say ain't. I know better. I went to college. But I'm going to tell you something. I speak in Southern English. Don't know anymore. My wife will tell you this. She's sitting right here. I don't know whether you use this phrase in Oklahoma or not. But her and I went, my glasses just got all cattywampused one time. We went into the optical shop. This man said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, you can." I said, "My glasses are out of whack." He sat there for a few minutes and he said, "You'll have to tell me what that means." I said, "Well, it's apparent you ain't from around here anywhere." See, I speak in Southern English. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. And I'm not a grammarian. But I'm going to tell you this, that I believe labor and work are synonymous with each other. Now, let me tell you something. We today, as a nation, we're living in perilous times. We're living in perilous times. And we got people up there running the show that's wanting to take from them that works and give to them that don't work. That's not scriptural to do. You know that? The scripture says, if he that does not work does not eat. I'm telling you, Brett, my friends, the scripture teaches honest talk. I believe that it does. I got this discussion one time with a friend of mine, and he said, "Well, what about the office worker? What about the person that don't get out there and actually do any physical work?" I knew I'd get doing this because if I sometimes get to preaching, I get to wiggling. And that's all right. What about the person that don't do any physical, honest? Let me tell you something. Using your brain and your body will work on you. You know that? It'll work on you. You try sitting or doing it sometime. But I believe in that text of scripture, in that labor, not only does it have a physical application, but I believe it has a spiritual application as well. I believe today, my friends, that there is work to be done in the kingdom of God. Now the skeptic is going to come back and say, "All right, preacher, I've got you now because you believe in the gospel of the grace of God. You believe that you're saved by the grace of God." Yes, I do. But I'm going to tell you something about that grace and about the works that goes along with it. I believe the works comes after the grace is applied. I believe that the works comes after the grace is applied. Now, I believe at the same time that the scripture teaches us works. It teaches us good works. Go to the book of Philippians. Go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12. And this is what we were discussing a while ago, some of it. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I'm telling you, my friends, today there is a salvation that you and I can work out. But let me tell you this. At the same time, that it's got to be rightly applied. It's got to be rightly divided. And I believe today that I'm going to say it this way. Then if there is stipulations put on it, it's timely. If there is no stipulations on it, it's eternal. There's more than one kind of salvation. I believe there's a time salvation. I believe there's an eternal salvation. But let me tell you something. Neither one of them begins with me. Because notice what it says next. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let me tell you something. I believe that God's a sovereign individual. I believe Psalms 113, verses 1 and 2. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You know why he does things? Because it pleases him to do it. And what business have I or you got saying, why does that? You ever catch yourself, and I have over the years, I've caught myself having a pity party. You ever have one? Boy, they're fun part-time. Oh, look at me. How bad is it? Is it not? My wife's got an uncle that's the worst in the world. Nobody's ever had no sorrow like he's had. But I got news for you, they have. They have. But what business have we got saying, why doest thou? God, why have you done this? Why me? Why me? When we ought to be saying, why not me? Why not me? So he says in this text of Scripture, he says, for it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. I'm telling you today, my friends, God's a sovereign individual. All right, into that work, what it says right there. It is their strength, labor, and sorrow in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, on the surface, it had seemed we got a conflict right in there. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But notice what he says next. In verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. But now, who walks in good works? Does the non-believer walk in good works? Does the non-believer care whether he walks in good works or not? I'm telling you who does that. I believe the person that walks in good works, that tries these good works, that desires these good works, is the person that has been brought from nature's darkness into the marvelous light of God. That's the person that desires good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But let me tell you something. Now, there's a difference. I don't believe today that we do these good works to be a child of God. But I believe we do them because we are a child of God. There's a difference. So we've got in that text of Scripture, we've got strength, labor, and sorrow. You know, I'm pretty bad about listening to TV preachers. I'll listen to one of them fellas and get just as mad as a hornet over what's being taught, what he's saying, and get just as mad as fire on it. My wife will say, well, if it has that kind of effect on you, why in the world do you do that? I got an answer for you. Because I want to see what the Lord's people are being exposed through the media. I want to see what kind of ridiculous stuff that they're being told. And I got some news for you folks today. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you make the right step, that if you do the right thing, that if you give the right amount, that you're going to live happily ever after. This isn't a fairy tale. I got news for you tonight, my friends. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have sorrow. I've had three heroes in my life. Three of them. One of them was my oldest brother. He taught me to tie my shoes. He took me to the first movie that I ever saw. I told this brother right over here, Brother Boyd, I told him where I heard him preach, what I heard him preach on, and I think it scared him a little bit. I remember some things. The first movie that I ever saw, he took me. Francis Goes to West Point. That was the name of the movie. He was ordained to preach in May of 1966. The September the 1st of 1966, God called him home. I'm telling you, my friends, today, we're going to have sorrow in this life. We're going to face hardship in this life. You know, folks tell us that there's a great tribulation day coming, that we're going to go through a tribulation period like we've never seen. I got news for them people. I'm ahead of them. Because as long as you're in this world, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to be here. I bet these folks tonight right here in Oklahoma City facing tribulation in the water. We're going to have it. But let me tell you something. I believe through the strength of an all-wise and an all-powerful God. And I'm going to say this. I believe that I just won. When Martin Luther King was standing there teaching his people, and he was saying, "We shall overcome," I wonder if he actually knew what he was saying. Because I'm telling you tonight, my friends, we're going to overcome the labor. We're going to overcome the sorrow. We're going to overcome the tribulation. We're going to overcome the hardship. And you know what's going to come next? It's the phrase, "And we fly away." I believe today that every one of us, I preached this one time, and I had a well-meaning primitive Baptist preacher come to me, and he said, "I want you to show me, prove to me, what we're going to fly away on." I'm going to tell you something. If we don't fly away on the wings of God's love, we don't stand a chance, brother. If we don't fly away on the wings of God's love, we don't stand a chance for heaven and immortal glory. Because I believe that He's coming back to this earth. I need to be careful with this one. Let me tell you this. Let me go back. I don't believe the Lord's ever going to set foot on this earth anymore. You know why? Because He's already accomplished everything that He set out to do the first time. He's got it done. But this text says that we're going to fly away. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. You know, I believe one thing that I'm going to say right here that the Scripture condemns. I believe the Scripture condemns ignorance, brother. I used to work with a woman that one of her favorite expressions was, "It's not a sin to be dumb, it's sin to stay dumb." And I believe that. I believe that. But it says in verse 13, "But I would not," in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, here in one place we've got some sorrow. But you know, some more good news is coming up. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not." "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Will God bring with Him? "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Don't try to tell me that we're not going to fly away. Because I believe that whenever the final consummation of all things comes and the Lord comes back after every one of those that are His, I got a cap that I wore over here that says, "I'm a Vietnam veteran and proud of it." You know, right close to home, right there where I live, the young man within 2 miles of my house, I used to play Little League baseball with, I went to high school with, we went to Vietnam approximately the same time. The only difference is that I came back and he didn't. You know, that makes sorrow come to my heart. But I'm telling you this, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that man's going to fly away. Because I believe whenever the Lord comes back and he calls to come forth, his mama, and he was an only child, and his mama and his daddy died not knowing where he lays. But I'm telling you, when the day's coming back, whenever we're all going to be called up together, you're going to hear him say, "Come in, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I'm telling you, brother, the day's coming because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to fly away. May the Lord bless you.